You're listening to the Ascension Roundtable Podcast, Episode 68. Parishes, please invest in better music. Whether we like it or not, people leave parishes because of bad music. While music is not essential to the Mass, it has potential to move people's hearts and draw them closer to Christ. Today, Stephen Jobert, a writer, musician, and youth minister, explains why it is so important for every parish to invest time and effort into their music ministry. You may be surprised at how doing this actually builds up parishes in other ways as well. To find out more about Stephen or to listen to his music, visit StephenJobert.com, StevenJobert.com.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. So today we're going to talk about music. It's been a long time coming. We've talked about a lot of things in ministry, and we should have talked about music probably a while ago. But we're going to talk about it today. Why? Because it's important. Music is good. I like music. You like music. You should like music anyway. So whether you're a musician or not, whether you like music or not, as long as you have heard music, then today's episode is going to be for you because, like it or not, people come to parishes because they like the music. People leave parishes because they like the music. People come to youth groups and conferences because they like the music. They don't show up sometimes because they don't like the music. So it's important, and we should pay attention to it. And today's guest, I have been wanting to have on the phone and introduce to you guys for a long time. I met Stephen Jobert 10 years ago at a Catholic camp. I had taken my youth group to a Catholic work camp. It's like a conference slash mission trip kind of a deal, and Stephen was the his band actually was the leading music at the conference portion of the week. So Stephen's a writer, a musician, he's a youth minister, he's a husband, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. He was born and raised in Louisiana and moved to Wisconsin because that's what everybody does. And I'm super excited to have him on the phone today. So Stephen, what's up, man?
What's up, Alan? Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem, dude. It's good to see your smiling face and jovial humor. It's good just to be with you again.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's a really great topic we're gonna talk about today. Super controversial.
Yeah.
People probably gonna have come at us with pitchforks and torches, probably, if I had to guess.
Probably so. That's okay. I'm just gonna send them all to StephenJobert.com.
Send them my way. It'll be like that scene in the movie Shrek in the first one, you know what I mean?
So in the morning, we're going to make waffles.
Yeah, dude.
That's a terrible impersonation of Eddie Murphy, but I gave it a shot.
Yeah, I love it. That's good.
All right, guys. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about why music is important, why this episode is important today for you and your ministry, whether you are a music minister or not. We're going to give you three important points to keep in mind when it comes to music and liturgy, and then we're going to take a break and come back and play What Do I Do If with Mr. Stephen Jobert. So Stephen, tell me, why is this important for people?
Well, because I think, like, whether we like it or not, and whether or not this is good or not, the reality is that people are leaving parishes because of music. People are joining parishes because of music. People are even sometimes, at least down in Louisiana where I'm from, people are changing faiths because of music. You know, like, people stop coming to a Catholic church and start going to, you know, church down the road because, you know, their music is really good and it feels like a Hillsong United concert or something. You know what I mean? So it's so people, that's the situation, is that music is important to people. So we've got to talk about it.
In the past, it was music was like a pillar of the Catholic Church. Like a lot of things, the church brought back a lot of culture, music, dance, a lot of the arts the church kind of brought back into the culture. And it seems like we've kind of lost that a little bit and need to recover that.
Well, I mean, like some of the greatest, you know, composers like ever, like the staple, like the magnum opus is a mass. You know, if you think about, you know, like Bach and Mozart, they have these masses that they wrote, and that was like the big part of their career. In fact, being commissioned by the church to create these beautiful pieces of music for mass. And, you know, now it seems that we're in a place in culture where Christian music is in this place of like trying to copy the secular, you know, like before we were this like trendsetter, you know, and now it's like we're constantly trying to play catch up, and that's, and it's a different, it's not the place that we should be in.
Can you tell a difference when a church is invested in music, in their church and not?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Cause I think it flows from, you know, the idea of not whether or not they're just investing in music exclusively, but whether or not they're investing in the entirety of the liturgy, right? I think parishes that are willing to take the time to make sure that music is really is done very appropriately, they're also the churches that are taking time to make sure that just the liturgy as a whole is celebrated well. You know, they're trying to make sure their homilies are feeding the people, and that, you know, they're, it's not just these like canned homilies, but like, oh, I'm actually talking to my parish. And these are instances that are really happening in our area and on the local level. And, you know, and then, you know, how are we, you know, doing the rest of the mass parts? What does the church look like during Easter? You know, are we making the sanctuary look, you know, Eastery, I guess, for lack of a better word, you know? And so it's like investing, you know, time, talent, and treasure, like into the liturgy itself. My, in college, my pastor at the Student Union Center, Father Bryce Sibley, would say, you know, save the liturgy, save the world, you know, kind of like a nod to the old show on ABC Heroes, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world, or whatever. And that's always his, that was his thing, you know, save the liturgy, save the world. And I think it's important. I think it's true. You know, when we're taking time to invest in that, there is a substantial difference in parishes that are doing that. I think the parishes that are investing in the mass are the churches that are exploding, you know, because I mean, the church teaches that the mass is the source and summit of the Christian life for a reason, right? And if that's like the focal point that we're all kind of rallied around, if we're spending the necessary time and energy to making this a very holy and beautiful experience, then I think that's going to have very fruitful results, you know?
Yeah, and speaking of that, brings us to our first, really our first important point about music and liturgy is that, so we'll just go right into it. So point number one, music must enhance, not detract from the liturgy. It's not, it is not the liturgy. It is part of it, and it can enhance or detract, because like you said this the other day, you said mass can exist without music. And it's like, yeah.
You know, we think of music as being this kind of like super important thing, and not to say that it isn't, but you know, like we're over here trying to start fights and stuff about how the music should be in mass when at the end of the day, it's totally superfluous. Like it's totally just extra. You know, the mass can exist on it and ought to and should be able to exist in its own right without any kind of music, because it, you know, you don't need it. We've got the words, we've got the ritual, we've got, you know, the proper matter and form, we've got the bread, we've got the wine, we know what we're doing, and we make that into Jesus. And so the focal point is the Eucharist. You know what I mean? The focal point is this conversation and this dialogue with God through hearing the word and then, you know, receiving the Eucharist and all that stuff, you know, and so the music is totally secondary. And so if we're going to incorporate music, it has to be something that's going to enhance that central message. And in particular, the Eucharist, you know, it's got to enhance what's already happening in the mass. So mass is a cake and music is just the icing, and too much icing can make you sick. But you know, I mean, but so I mean, not to say that, you know, music is like bad or it's like this, it's this thing that, you know, like, so mass used to be sung the whole way through, you know what I mean? Like it used to be, right. We used to chant the whole thing, and so it's not like there was this clear cut and dry like here's the mass and then here's music. You know, historically speaking, in context, that, you know, the two were kind of married together, but in the sense of, you know, you can have a high mass or a low mass, you can have, that doesn't have to be sung. Primarily nowadays, we're not singing the majority of the mass and we're reciting a lot of it. So now there is this kind of distinction and kind of the separation.
Right. Right. And I'm going to say real quick too, that what we're not going to talk about today, like, what kind of music is better or worse? Because that's just a whole other kind of a fruitless debate in a lot of situations. I mean, I personally don't like organ music. I'd rather somebody like scratch their nails on a chalkboard. But some people love it, and that's fine. So whether you're going to a mass where there's no music, whether you're going to a mass where you're singing the mass, whether you're going to a mass where there's Gregorian chant, or whether you're going to a mass that is polyphony organ music, or whether you're going to a mass that has more guitars and drums, like that's kind of not irrelevant, but that's not the point today. The point is that whatever kind of music it is, you should invest in that music when it comes to music in the liturgy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, investing in tons of ways, right? Like investing not only just, time and energy or, financials, like maybe you have to like pay a musician or something, but investing the time and energy to understand like what the church wants for music in the liturgy. And so that way we can make a prudent decision about like what music is belonging in the liturgy.
Gotcha. So let me ask you then, what does point number two, what goes into like a prudent music selection?
Yeah. Well, I think we have to first start off by saying that certain things don't belong. I think the first thing we have to understand is that not all music belongs in the liturgy,
Right.
I always like to make this joke whenever I meet a priest for the first time. And they ask like, oh yeah, so what are we doing for, music today or whatever? And if it's like a feast of like a martyr, I'm like, yeah, we'll probably like, process in with let the bodies hit the floor. And I say that jokingly, cause like, obviously like we're not gonna, play an alternative rock song in mass, like that doesn't belong. Music, just because it's a good song doesn't mean it necessarily mean it belongs in mass. And that's true even for things that are Christian, right? Like just because you heard this really great like popular song on K-Love or The Fish or whatever doesn't mean it needs to be in mass. As much as I really like the song Give Me Your Eyes by Brandon Heath, I'm not really sure that we need to be playing that in mass at any point in time. And as good of a message as that song may have, we don't necessarily need to play that one.
Yeah, I love me some good Christian rap, but I can't think of a lot of places in the mass that would actually belong, if ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, by a lot, you mean zero. And so I think we have to be able to say, like, we can appreciate good Christian art, but just because we appreciate it and we like it and we value it doesn't mean that it needs to be in mass. And that also, like, as for anyone who's listening who is a Catholic musician or a Catholic artist, it doesn't mean that, like, you need to be trying to constantly be making art that belongs in mass. Art is good, and, like, art can be a tool to be used to evangelize. You don't have to fit this contemporary Christian CCM praise and worship band mold or whatever. You can just kind of create art and that's good. And just because you're never going to get any of your songs in a hymnal or a missalette or whatever doesn't mean that you're a bad Catholic musician or a bad Catholic artist, It's okay.
So getting back to mass and music in the liturgy, a lot of music ministers, they're essentially a small group leader of their music group. Tell me the difference, because I've been to mass where I've heard music that's the type of music that I like, but again, it was distracting or detracted from the mass, as opposed to lifting me up. And I've been to other masses where maybe the musician wasn't as artistically sound, but I was brought to a place, a much better place of worship because of the. So why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, we were talking about. I think this idea piggybacks off the idea of investing into the liturgy, and in particular investing into our musicians. We have to be taught, to like how to lead people in prayer. We have to be taught the leadership role of, kind of being a small group leader, or being a kind of like, as a music minister, I myself have to be ministered to, and I also have to learn how to minister to the musicians whom I'm working with and teach them how to minister. And so I think, because we can play a song mechanically speaking flawlessly, and not serve the liturgy, and we can play the song, mechanically speaking, I guess I'm going to use that term again, but mechanically, like playing everything correctly, or we can do it not as well, but also serve the liturgy better.
Yeah.
And theoretically speaking, you know, you can do that if you know like what exactly it is that you're doing and how to, you know, lead people in a prayer. And I think that comes in a lot of practical ways. Even if you're singing a song and you're singing it in this obnoxious key where you've got to hit this like really high note that no one else but you, who are a very professionally trained singer, can hit, then like you're probably not serving the community. You're not serving the mass in that way. Whereas like if we could, you know, transpose the song down a little bit to be in a more singable space, then we can better serve the mass that way. We can better serve the congregation that way. And so I think, you know, that's another point. As a music minister, if you are the lead music minister, or if you know who the lead music minister at your parish is, like having that person having a ministry kind of role in terms of praying before and after mass together, getting together when you're doing your rehearsals, you know, praying through stuff, getting a meeting whenever you're making song selections with your music ministry team, you know, and you're picking out songs for stuff, saying, what music would speak to the liturgy? What, you know, like reading through the prayers and reading through the readings ahead of time and really praying through, like, where's the Holy Spirit guiding us to be able to pick some of these songs for the mass?
Yeah, I think that idea just of prayer is so important that some people, and I think everyone would agree that music and mass is not to entertain people. And if the people leading music will pray it instead of just playing the music, it kind of prevents it from becoming entertainment. Because it doesn't have to be a band. You can have a lector who sings beautifully. You can have a voice that they could be singing in the opera. But to your point, they can sing at a level that, you know, nobody can hit except for like 3% of the population, much less me, who's like a bass and tone deaf. I'm never gonna get that. And so like I can't sing along as much as I want to try. Now I'm just distracting the people around me. And so it's like three people singing along with the cantor, and that's it. And everybody's just listening or being entertained by a beautiful voice, nonetheless. But that's different than you could have a full band, even that. And if they're praying the music and leading prayer and really leading worship is a different animal altogether, I think.
It's very interesting because a lot of these questions kind of all interlock and they kind of all have to do with each other. But I think not to be too confusing or anything, but like if we're going to cultivate a community of prayer and we're going to see ourselves as music ministers, as people who are serving the liturgy and really leading people in prayer, you know, not only is it about what's happening interiorly with me, as we were just saying, it kind of depends on the practicality of, you know, what key is the song in and can other people sing it? But then that also has to do with, what song am I singing? You know,
yeah.
Again, talking about, you know, bringing back the idea of song selection. If you're singing a song and the song has just got this outrageous register where you've got to have this incredible range to be able to sing it, it's like, well, as cool as that song is, maybe we shouldn't sing it.
So as a worship leader, I'm just going to go ahead and give you props because you do an amazing job of doing that. You're extremely talented, so you like hit those both notes of you're artistically well, and like you said, mechanically, what term you use, mechanically functional, mechanically sound, whatever,
playing the song well mechanically, as I said, just like playing it mechanically well.
Yeah, so you do that really, really well. but you also pray the music. So when you are leading worship, whether it be during mass or just leading some praise and worship for some people to kind of just pray together and praise God together, you do a great job of doing that as well. You also are a musician in your own right, just in creating music that happens to have Christian themes, elements, would not be appropriate for a liturgy, or is not necessarily praise and worship, but is good music. So as we take a break here, my long-winded way of saying, as we take a break here, we're going to give you guys a little taste of some of Stephen's music. He just dropped an EP, actually. Just by the time this podcast comes out, it should have just dropped a day or two earlier. So we're going to give you a quick taste of his music as we go to break.
Oh, I've been no stranger to slavery. I've been no stranger to sin. Jesus, by
And if you're looking for a way to learn more about your Catholic faith, I invite you to check out the Ascension Presents YouTube channel. You're going to find tons of free videos featuring Catholic presenters like Matt Frad, Leah Darrow, Jackie and Bobby Angel, and Emily Wilson. Go to youtube.com/ascensionpresents. That's youtube.com/ascensionpresents. And if you like what you see, please share and subscribe.
All right. And we're back. All right, Stephen. So we're going to give these people some practical issues. We're going to play a little game of what do I do if? And then I'm just going to ask you questions and let you just kind of riff and give us the answers. Does that sound good?
Got it.
Okay, so number one, what do I do if we don't have any money, Stephen? We're not a wealthy parish. We don't have lots of money coming in. So how do we invest in our music if we just don't have any money?
Man, that's a great question. I think the glory of the modern age is YouTube and the internet, right? The cool thing is that you can probably find resources on YouTube of like people talking about liturgy, or if it's not on a YouTube channel, it's probably somewhere on the internet. Maybe even Ascension Press has something about how to do that. I don't know, but the thing is that we have the internet, and so if you have access to the internet at your parish, you could probably find some sort of resource to help people better understand what it is you're doing. Because again, I think the core issue is trying to understand what the church wants. I think we start doing music and liturgy better when we understand more accurately what the church wants us to do and trying to be obedient to that. Yeah. And so then before you dump any money into anything, I would say like read some stuff, you know, go on the internet and read some things. In fact, I mean, Pope Benedict the 16th has got amazing, amazing stuff on the liturgy. And so if the parish doesn't have money, but you personally have money, you can go, there's a book called Theology of the Liturgy, and it's a compilation of everything Pope Benedict the 16th has said about the Mass, pretty much. And Pope St. John Paul II commissioned Pope Benedict the 16th to like make the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And so if there's someone who like knows what's going on with the Mass and what the Catechism teaches and everything, Pope Benedict is kind of that guy. And so if you can dig up anything that what he has to say about the liturgy, I would highly recommend that. You know, the thing, you don't need like a ton of equipment. You don't need to go change in all kinds of stuff in the church. You don't need your priest to buy a new sound system, new microphones, a new mixing board, an electronic drum kit, or you don't need to go throw away the electronic drum kit that you have. You know what I mean? Like you can like just your music ministry as a whole. We just need to have a better understanding of what the Mass is.
Yeah. And like you were saying earlier, all the points you made earlier, like that doesn't cost any money. Through that stuff, song selection, praying the music at Mass, and those things don't cost any money. As a matter of fact, if you have very poor song selection and you're not singing it very well, but you have like a great sound system, all you're doing is just amplifying the crappy sound that you're putting out there. So it may not be that the problem may not be money and equipment. It might be. I think that the more fundamental issues that you should address first, and those are all free. So what if our parish just bought brand new missalettes? How do you convince a pastor that you want to play something that's maybe not in the missalette that they just paid all this money for?
And in the grand scheme of things, getting different music is actually really inexpensive. It's not a humongous, you know, investment. And the cool thing is you can actually buy the intellectual property rights through different services like CCLI and different things like that. And you don't have to buy a whole missalette. You can print the licensing rights on a piece of paper, and then you print out the lyrics, and you know, you can print it on paper, and that's way cheaper. Because you can even purchase the rights per event, right? Like you can try some new music at a Mass, and license it out, like just for that one specific mass that you're going to do it at, and see if the parish likes it. And if they do, and it's well received, then you can say, okay, well, then this is something we need to invest in. And that would be super inexpensive.
So what do I do if my parishioners don't like new songs?
That's an interesting question. I don't think anyone is really like super adamant against new songs. They're just against the unfamiliarity, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not, it's not just the fact that it's new. It's just that they want to be able to sing along. And I think that's just remedied by repetition. Like, so introduce songs slowly. Don't hit people with a mass full of all new songs immediately, right? So like if you're going to incorporate a brand new song, introduce it and try to find a song that you can incorporate multiple weeks in a row. So if you've got a song that works for communion, play it as a communion song 3 or 4 times in a row so that the parish can get familiar with it. If you're a music ministry that works with your youth ministry program, incorporate some of these songs into the culture of your youth ministry and work with the youth minister on that. Or ask the youth minister, if you've got a youth minister at your parish, do you have any ideas of songs that maybe you used on a retreat that your teens really felt led them into prayer, and you can incorporate things that way. And so you're kind of incorporating music into the culture of the parish, not just a one-time, well, we tried to sing All Creatures of Our God and King and no one liked it, so we're going to ditch it. It's like, no, All Creatures of Our God and King is a great song. And the words are by St. Francis of Assisi.
Yeah, shameless plug. You have a song and a new EP that's, a new album that's kind of a fresh take on an older song.
Yeah. So I did a fresh take on a song called Everlasting Arms. And it's a cool little tune. I'm not very confident that much at all that the way I did it should be done that way in mass. But I think like the integrity of the song could be done in mass. Like I use some extra instruments that, you know, you don't really want to throw into mass because lap steel guitar and harmonicas probably Kazoo. Wouldn't be conducive to the liturgy. But, you know, I mean, but like slowing the song down and putting it in kind of a 3-4 time signature and things like that, it made it, it's a very slow and reflective song, and doing it like that might be really cool, and people might resonate with people. So having a fresh take on some older songs can kind of help the parish not feel so disjointed, and it's still something fresh and interesting. Something that kind of, like, I'm thinking about Ike Ndolo, Catholic singer. He has a really great version of How Can I Keep From Singing that's really cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's very soft and melodic and gentle, but yet still a kind of a modern take on it.
So, okay, so next, what do I do if? What do I do if my pastor doesn't like anything that wasn't written in the 60s?
I don't know. I don't know what you do about that. You do a fresh take on 60s songs. I don't know. I think there might be a situation in which people are more against the idea of a thing rather than what the thing is in actuality, because they've heard a contemporary mass at XYZ parish down the road and it's so bad. It's like a rock and roll concert and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, we're going to stick to these songs that were written in the 60s. There's a bias there for a number of reasons, but maybe it's not really just founded on anything really substantial. And if you can show that that is not the case, then maybe you'd have better luck getting some different music.
Your point is valid, though. Like, if there's people like the music they grew up with, and so if your pastor happened to grow up with songs from the 60s, that's what he's going to like. That's what he's going to, but it's not the 60s anymore. And so it may just be a tough conversation with your priest to say, or your pastor to say, hey, what is our culture listening to today? What are some songs that they want to hear and that they're going to love once they're your age? They're going to love these songs because they're growing up with them.
I think all pastors would love to hear that.
I think if you lead with "you're old and crotchety," I think nothing could go wrong from there.
I think part of it too might be just looking at, like, having an honest conversation about the demographics at, like, certain masses. Because people are you know, creatures of habit, right? So, like, a lot of times people are going to the same masses. And so maybe you've got, like, an older generation of people at one mass versus another. And if that's the case, then maybe at the older mass, you do some older songs. And then for people that are, you've got younger families and stuff at mass, maybe you freshen up the repertoire a little bit for that mass.
Yeah, absolutely. I think demographics is going to speak to the pastor. And like you said, people are leaving the church and aging out. And so that's a nice way of saying it, isn't it? Aging out of life. So demographics is going to speak to your pastor, and it's a great way to evangelize. And not that we want to bring people to the Mass for the music, but it is a place to start and begin to evangelize people. So what do I do if I'm in ministry? I know that people are leaving the church because they think the music is bad. The priest doesn't want to offend the music director or any of the musicians. So what do I do?
So I think this is like a multi-step process. The first point is, if you want to have any kind of, I don't want to be like too objectifying or utilitarian about this, but just hear me out, right? Like, build an authentic and genuine relationship with your music minister. If you don't know your music minister that well, I think one of the first things you can do is befriend in a genuine and authentic way the person who's in charge of your music. Hear them out about their perspective on why certain things are the way they are, yada, yada, yada. But then, like, Alan, you and I are friends. So if you come to me with a thing that you think maybe I could improve on, I'm more willing to hear you out because you're not just some strange person telling me I'm doing my job wrong. That relationship with your music minister is really important. And so then your music minister might be more open to hearing a suggestion or more open to hearing what you have to say, because you can even like root the conversation in a fact like, man, have you been noticed like a lot of people haven't been coming to the 11 o'clock mass anymore? And then you can start off with a question and hear your music minister's perspective. Oh, yeah, I have noticed that, and then start a conversation there. Now, the question of offending people. Sometimes we have people in charge of music that are either there by choice or maybe not. Sometimes people step up in the parish when there was a place lacking and they know that they can do a thing. And so they decided to do it, but maybe are either A, tired of it, or B, would rather someone else do it. So just because you would like to change the person who is in charge of music, or you would like to have an addition or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean someone's getting offended. We're so used to everyone getting offended about everything in culture mm-hmm. right now that we're just sort of like assuming that if we bring up this conversation, they're going to get super angry and throw a fit. But that's not necessarily the case. Again, I don't think we don't want to underestimate people's generosity and people's goodwill. We don't want to just assume that people are going to take things super personally. Then there's the circumstance in which maybe someone does get offended. It doesn't mean that the conversation is not worth having, and it doesn't mean that the music isn't worth changing. Like, sometimes you're going to have to make people upset, and things have to get worse before they get better. And so, like, if your music is just really, really awful, then it's an issue. You know what I mean? It's actually something that does need to be addressed. And I know, like, a lot of times with music, people have this come one, come all mentality, where it's like, oh, well, if you're a musician or if you like to play music, everyone should be allowed to worship the Lord and all this stuff, which is true. But also, like, if you're serving the liturgy, you need to be a servant, and you need to, like, have the actual ability to serve, right? And so it's like, just because you're a really good kazoo player doesn't necessarily mean you need to be leading the parish in the liturgy and music in particular. And so we need to be comfortable with just the reality. Like, man, sometimes people are in a position that they shouldn't be in, and someone's going to get mad. And maybe even lots of people are going to get mad, but it's for the good of the parish. Sometimes that just is what needs to happen. And if you're a pastor who's listening to this, you're the pastor, so like, and the parish will be better for it, even though a few people might get angry. In the long term, the health of the parish is more important.
All right. So last question, man. So, dude, I'm just a lowly parishioner at a parish where there's bad music. So what do I do? I don't work, but I'm not an employee. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the youth minister. I don't have any clout. I'm just a lowly parishioner. So what do I do?
Yeah. This is kind of along the same lines as the other situation. I think first you've got to become friends with your music minister. If you want to have any kind of change with anything, to be honest, I think we should be wanting to be in genuine, authentic relationships with people who have the ability to change the things that we're trying to change, and it's, again, not to be super utilitarian or anything and be like, oh, just use them for their power. That's not what I'm saying. Be genuine. But then, like, find a parish around you that is doing the kind of music that you think would be beneficial for your parish well. if it's chant, like say your parish has not had Gregorian chant in a really long time, and there really is, and believe it or not, there actually really is a strong young adult kind of surge of people who were super interested in the richness of the Catholic faith and its tradition and love that orthodoxy. And maybe that would be really healthy for your parish. And so finding another parish that can do chant really well and being like, look, this is amazing. And have your music minister see it. Or if maybe if it's a more contemporary mass kind of thing that you're trying to do or you would like to see happen. There's a lot of parishes that don't do it well, unfortunately. And I think that's just in the common comment that like, oh, contemporary mass, it's like a concert, blah, blah, blah. So find a church that's doing it well, that's making good music for mass, that is reverent and holy and is leading people deeper in prayer, and like expose your music minister to that. If you have the opportunity to go to a big conference or something where they do it well, do that. But again, if you're in that situation where there's not a lot of money, like a lot of times you can just take a 2 to 3 hour drive down off the highway to a parish that's doing it really well. And so you've got to do some research. You're going to have to do some legwork, but chances are if there's a church within a 5 hour radius that is Catholic, that is doing music well, there's a really good chance that you actually already know that that church exists, because it seems to be such a rare thing that music that is done really well. So if that's your scenario, go and expose people in the parish, go and expose your music minister and your pastor and say, let's go to this church and check this out. I think it would be really cool. Taste and see kind of thing.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was such thing as like good music at church until I was just kind of stumbled upon it. You know, like some people just may not know what it is. You can say, until they see your vision, until they see what can be, how are they going to, you know, then they can start trying to get there. That's a whole different animal. But yeah, just bringing somebody and saying, here's what is effective. Here's what is bringing people to a place of worship and mass. And here's what is enhancing the liturgy. Let's go watch this done.
Let's go see how it happens. Maybe you have to take that idea and you have to adapt it to your parish level, right? Because you can't treat every parish like it's a cookie cutter. You know, like, I mean, it's a church is full of people and people are full of different experiences. And so every parish is going to be its own unique animal. And so you can't treat every Catholic parish like it's this, like it's like a production, you know, like, and it's like just this uniform thing. It's like, no, parishes are messy and it's going to take some adapting, and you're going to have to cater and tailor what things are good for your parish and for your people and your congregation.
Yeah. I think sometimes that a quote unquote lowly parishioner has a better chance of getting some things addressed and changed because they aren't employed by the parish. There's no political agendas. It is just somebody who cares about the mass, cares about the liturgy, cares about the congregation as somebody who goes to the parish.
Well, and I think also if you are a lowly parishioner, I think you will have a little bit more, not say or more of a voice, but I think like you will have a little bit, people might be more willing to listen to you if you are a parishioner who volunteers a lot at the parish. Like you're really plugged in and you are giving your time, talent, treasure to the parish. Then your pastor is going to see that, the people in the congregation are going to see that, and they're going to get to know your heart and know that your care for the liturgy and for the mass is very genuine. And so I think it's important that, like, if you want to see things happen in your parish, then you need to be someone who's plugged in. You know, you need to be someone who's actively volunteering and being a part of the community.
Amen, brother. Amen. So, Stephen, any parting thoughts for our people out there today? Anything you want to leave them with?
Hashtag save the liturgy. Hashtag save the world. Hashtag Father Bryce Sibley. Hashtag go raging Cajun Catholics. Hashtag alma mater.
So guys, we're going to leave you we're going to put a download of one of Stephen's new songs from his new album in our show notes. So you can go there as a little special treat and get a little sample of what's out there. And if you're interested in his music, you can purchase the whole thing at stephenjobert.com. Now, it's not like it's not spelled like it sounds unless you're a raging Cajun, I imagine. But it's stevenjobert.com. And so we'll put that in the show notes as well. But so there you go. So go listen to the song. Rock out a little bit, and if you like it, go to stephenjobert.com and buy the whole thing. All right, guys. So if you want to contact us, you can at Ascension Roundtable at ascensionpress.com, or you can find us in the show notes. You can leave comments there at ascensionpress.com. Click on the tab Media, Podcasts, and then Ascension Roundtable. And a quick shout out to Philip, who recently emailed us in. We love hearing from you guys, so continue to do so. Have a great week. We're praying for you. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Slavery, I've been